It is a joy to welcome Chris up to talk to us. Why don't you come up, Chris? While he's gathering his things, thank you, Julia. Thank you, Naomi, Jake, Chris, around somewhere. Thank you for leading us in worship. Chris, can we pray for you? Great. Can we pray all together? Why don't we all reach out a hand towards Chris? It's just a visual sign of our togetherness in prayer. Father, we thank you for your child, Chris. Thank you for the journey that he walks with you. Thank you that you love him. Thank you that he loves you. Thank you that you've given him a word for this morning for us to hear. Placed it on his heart. And pray for your anointing on him as he brings it to us, and that we would have ears to hear the word your spirit is speaking to each of us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. It's lovely to see you. It's lovely to be with you this morning. And if we've never met before, then let me introduce myself. My name is Chris. I'm part of the senior leadership team here at Christ Church, and with my wife Helena, our two kids as well. We've been here for just over 9 years now, and it's an absolute joy to be with you. And I just felt I wanted to say, because sometimes it's important that you hear this from people who stand up here. Like, we love being here. We love being here. We love being a part of the team here. We love this church. We're trying to love you really well as well. But we love being here, and we're called to be here. And I feel like sometimes it's important that you know that. This is not just a job that I do. this is the calling of my life, and I love it. And it's a privilege to be able to share God's word with you this morning. And we're in a journey of generosity. We started last week. Paul was sharing with us the generosity of God towards us. And we're going to move that on this morning. We're going to talk about what does our generosity towards God look like? What's our generosity towards God? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes' time. But I don't know about you, and I don't know if you're willing to own up to this morning. And my guess is you might not be willing to own up to this, which is fine. You don't have to. But if you're, are you someone who quite likes the drama? You know? You quite like... Sophie's nodding. You quite like the drama. You kind of like the show. If there's something going on, you're probably going to be in the middle of it. Yeah, can you relate to that? So some people just love the drama, and I guess sometimes this is true. This is true of me. But this morning's not about me. This morning's about my children. This morning's about my children. I have two children. One of them is 10, that's Jessica, she's our eldest, and one of them, 7.5, is Rafi. Jessica doesn't really like the drama. Rafi loves the drama, okay? And if you've met her and you know her well, you know what I'm saying. Rafi loves the drama. Now, with Jessica, our firstborn, and we've got a few people in the room this morning who have had children recently and maybe might have a second one soon. And with our first one, we didn't need to do a whole lot of kind of discipline stuff. It was quite straightforward. Jessica was quite easy. It was sort of lovely. And then what happened? Into the world. And it was a little bit of a shock to our system. Now, I say that with genuinely, it's all positive. I say it as a positive statement, not a negative, okay? I don't want you to hear me saying negatively that about Rafi. She's just made differently. And that's genuinely true. And I honestly mean that. She's made differently. She's wired differently. She shares her emotions differently. And she's just different. But she also loves the drama. We kind of figured that out when she was about 2 years old. And in a fit of temper? Anger. We'll call it for what it is. Anger. In a fit of anger, she decided to empty the contents of her shared bedroom into our hallway. And you know, as a parent, I was like, this is going to stop soon. And it didn't stop. And the whole room essentially just came into the hallway. And I was going to have a picture for you, but I forgot to show it, to get it up. She emptied everything into the hallway. And I just was like, oh, Jessica never did that. What's going on? And a few mornings ago, this thing happened, right? I was getting ready in a different room before school. This happened this week. Okay, so she's now 7 and a half. This happened this week. And I was getting ready in a different room, and these are the words that I heard coming out of her mouth at the top of her voice, okay? Oh, I'm so sad and angry. I'm so sad and angry. Now, I say that, and I've told Rafi I'm going to talk about this, so don't worry, she's not oblivious to me talking about this. I say it positively because she's actually fantastic at sharing her emotions, right? Some of us actually struggle to share our emotions. Rafi doesn't struggle with that. I'm so sad and angry, and I'm getting ready in the other room. I'm like, goodness gracious, what's happening? Like, something serious must be happening. Jessica walks into the room that I'm getting ready, and I said, what's going on? Rafi's sad and angry, and she's shouting at the top of her voice. And she said, oh, she just can't find a spelling book. I was like, what? What do you mean? I'm so sad and angry. That's what we do. Some people love the drama. Now, in Rafi's case, it's a real positive thing. I genuinely mean that. I don't want you to hear me saying negative things about my daughter. It's not true. It's a really positive thing. In the bit of scripture we're about to read now, Jesus takes this idea of the drama and the show, and he turns it into something different, which we're going to read about in a minute. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd love you to switch them on or get your books out, whatever it is that you, however you read the Bible. And you're going to turn to Mark chapter 12. I'm so sad and angry. Oh, I love it. Mark 12, verse 38, we're going to go from. Okay. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show they make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." And then Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." The title of our time together this morning is this: more might not mean more. More might not mean more. I want to frame the rest of our time together in three separate questions that I think are going to help us hopefully respond to God and everything that he wants to do this morning. And question one is this: in what ways can our relationship with God become like a show? And how can we be more authentic in our relationships with him this week? In what ways is our relationship with God a bit of a show? And how can we be more authentic before him in the coming week? So here in Mark, we find Jesus teaching in the temple courts. It's a place that we often find him. He's often there teaching and he's speaking to people. And we find him there because it's one of the places in the temple structures where both men, Jewish men and women, could gather together in the same place. So it makes sense that Jesus would often be found there because the most people are often there. So when he's speaking, he gets to speak to the most people possible. So he's there and he's speaking. And we get this sense from the verse. We just jump up a verse into 37. It says, "A large crowd listened to him with delight." So we know that in this moment, there's a large crowd that are gathered to hear the words that Jesus is teaching. And he launches into something now, which is really significant to the people that are going to be listening to him. Now, in this place where Jesus was teaching was also the place where people came and gave their money. And Jesus finishes his teaching. In verse 41, it says that he sits down opposite the place where the people put their money. Now, in the temple courts at that time, there would have been 13 wooden boxes that had trumpet-shaped funnels made of bronze. And those are the places where people could put their money. So they came along, they put their money down the bronze-shaped trumpet funnel, and it went into the wooden box. There was 13 of these that were around the temple courts. I couldn't find 13 wooden boxes with bronze-shaped funnels, but I could find 2 buckets. So we're going to use buckets this morning. Okay? Buckets. This is important. 13 wooden boxes with bronze-shaped trumpet funnels for the money. And this is important because what Jesus has just said from verse 38 about the teachers of the law, what's he said? He said, watch out for these teachers of the law. And what he's saying in essence is that they love to put on a show. They love to put on a show. They love the best seats. They walk around in their flowing robes. But they devour the widows' houses and they make a show with their lengthy prayers. They love the drama. They love the show. And Jesus, in this moment, he builds on this by making a comparison between the people who come along with all their money and the rich people with their money, who throw in all their money, and this poor woman who places her 2 coins into the temple treasury. So he sits there and he's watching. And he calls his friends over to make the point. Now, I'm just going to get some coins out of my wallet. I hope that's okay. Can you imagine the noise? Can you imagine the noise? Let's get some coins. And an SD card for some reason. You ever look in your bag and you're like, well, how did that get in there? Can you imagine the noise? All these rich people, they're walking along and they're throwing their money in. All the noise. Imagine all the noise. All these rich people come along. And they come along and they throw their money in, making a show of what they gave. And along comes this woman with how many coins? 2 coins. 2 small coins. In fact, they were the coins that were worth the least amount at the time, literally the smallest. The Bible says that she just put her coins in. Just puts her coins into the temple treasury. And I want to be really clear about something here. Jesus, in this moment, he's not condemning the rich people. He's not condemning them. He's making a comparison. He's contrasting the activity one from another. And he calls his friends over and he says, look at these rich people. They throw their money in. And look at this poor woman who comes and she places her coins before God. Maybe we can relate to this morning. Maybe we can relate. Can't it be easy for our relationship with God to become a bit of a show? Can't it be easy for our relationship with God to be this outwardly impressive? Is everything's fine? I'm smiling. I'm happy. It's good. I come to church. I do my prayer. Whatever it is, it's a bit of a show. Isn't it easy for our relationships with God to become like that? It looks good. It's impressive on the outside. And yet on the inside, there's a whole load of other stuff that's going on. Maybe you can relate to that this morning. And maybe we can learn something from this widow. This woman who brought what little she had authentically before the Lord. And she placed her 2 coins in the treasury. Question 1, in what ways can our relationship with God become like a show? And how might we become more authentic before him this week? I was praying with the team beforehand this morning. I was like, God, please help us. We don't want to put on a show here. I don't want to put on a show. It's not about that. It's about us as a community collectively coming authentically before him. That's part of our generosity towards him. It's to come authentically before him, moment by moment. That's what it means. And that's what I'm hoping we're going to do a little bit later on today. Question two. How can we as a community move towards Jesus' position here? Okay? How do we as a community move towards Jesus' position here? So we've got all these rich people throwing in their large amounts into the buckets. Not buckets, the things. They're throwing their money in. And what I want to do, just for a second, I want us to agree something, if possible, together. Now, you don't have to agree with me, but I want to just say this. I believe that Jesus doesn't lie. Okay? That's my belief. Jesus is not a liar. Now, if we can, as much as possible, if you, in your heart, you just collectively agree with that. If you disagree with that, it's absolutely fine. Come talk to me at the end. We'll talk about it. But I want us, as much as possible, to agree this morning. Jesus doesn't lie. If that's true, what Jesus said about what this woman did is really extraordinary. As in, like, completely amazing. What does Jesus say about this woman? He says, truly I tell you, this poor woman has put what in? Have a look at your Bibles. This poor woman has put what? More. Yeah. This poor woman has put in more than all the others. How do we as a community move towards Jesus' position on more? Because the crazy thing is here is that to Jesus, more might not mean more. Why? All the rich people came. They put in all their money. They threw in all their large amounts. And Jesus says, the lady who gave the smallest gave the most. What? Because to Jesus, more might not mean more. Because to Jesus, this was more than this. How do we move towards Jesus' position on more? Because what Jesus does here is something that he really loves to do. He loves to do this. He turns the smallest thing into the biggest thing. He turns the smallest thing into the biggest thing. Remember the mustard seed? Remember the mustard seed? Remember the boy who turned up with his loaves and his fish? He turns the smallest thing into the biggest thing. So what I want to say to you this morning is don't ever believe that the smallest thing that you have to offer, the little thing that you might have to offer, is a hindrance to the Lord working in your life through you. Because you can offer the smallest thing and Jesus can say it's the most thing. So if you sat here this morning and you think, I got nothing to give. I got nothing to give. My life, I don't believe in who I am. I'm a small, worthless, insignificant, valueless person, but I'm dragging myself here, whatever. Don't you ever believe that the small thing that you have to offer God is a hindrance to him using that small thing, valuing it, making it significant, because you never know what God is going to do with the thing that you offer him. And Jesus says to this about this woman, she gave everything. The two smallest coins in the heart of Jesus became the most. And this is so much more than money. And I want to branch and this out and broaden it towards our perspective on life. In this moment, more meant everything. So the woman comes along with her two coins, and she puts them into the treasury. And Jesus said that that was more, but he also said this. He said, the rich people gave out of their poverty. The rich people gave out of their wealth. So essentially out of the surplus that they had. It made no difference to them. It was a lot of money, but it didn't really impact them. But this woman, out of her poverty, she gave everything. She gave all she had to live on. And isn't that part of the message of the discipleship that Jesus calls us towards as believers and followers of him? That it's about everything. It's about everything. Come towards him with everything. All you have to live on. So what does more mean in the context of everything? Because if I already gave in my life, and I gave in my money, and I gave in my job, or my lack of job, or my family, if I gave him everything, what does more mean in the context of everything? Well, I guess I believe in part that it's a consistent choice to move towards everything. It's a consistent choice, a consistent decision to move towards everything. Because in this moment, the woman with the coins, the two coins, her decision could have been different. It could have been different. She could have given one and kept one. Right? Which is the part of the story that I love about the most. I love about it the most. And you've heard me, some of you, say this before. But the Bible's so specific about the fact that she had two coins that were the smallest. And I believe the Bible's really specific about the fact that she had two coins because she had the choice. She could have given one, kept one, right? She could have given one, kept one. Isn't that the choice that we have like every day with Jesus? Isn't that the choice we have every day with him? Like we can give one to Jesus. Did my thing, did my bit. Keep one. Just in case. Give one, keep one. That's the choice that we have every day. So my third question is this. When it comes to life and our relationship with God, how many of us keep a metaphorical coin in our back pockets? Just in case. Just in case. Given her situation, and this is where the wisdom of God becomes really important. Because given her situation, it would have made sense for her to give one and keep one. Because that was all she had. Isn't it? It was all she had to live on. It would have made logical sense, human sense, to have given one and kept one. And she decided differently because in that moment, her choice was to give everything. And that is our choice. That is our choice. That's our decision every moment of every day. When X situation faces you, when X person faces you, when X thing happens in your workplace or family situation is going on, whatever's going on, you always have the choice. You can give one or keep one. And this woman, Jesus points her out because she made a different choice and she put two in. Because she must have believed something about the heart of God that I'm still trying to work out. Which is that more might not mean more. Because in this context, more is everything. More is everything. And how many of you know that in this church, more people might not mean more growth. as in growth. More people doesn't necessarily mean more growth. More singing might not mean more worship. More prayer might not mean a deeper relationship with God. More money might not mean more generosity. Because more might not mean more. Because it's not about what it looks like. It's not about the show. It's not about the drama. It's about what's going on in here. More meant more to Jesus in this instance because he saw the heart of the woman. She gave everything. And that is our choice every day, every moment. There's this one time, I'm going to finish with this. There's this one time where Jesus says this to his friends. He says, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. He says, you're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? There's this other bit where he says to a whole bunch of people, he says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about the things that you've got. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to put on your body. Life is more than food. And the body is more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? You are of great value. You are of great significance. And then Jesus, a little bit later on, goes on to say this. He says, seek first the kingdom, and everything else will work itself out. Seek first the kingdom. Everything else is going to work itself out. More might not mean more. And to Jesus, in this moment, more was everything. I want us to spend some moments now reflecting together as we head into some more worship time and a moment to respond to what God might be saying and might be doing in our lives this morning. And so I'm going to invite you to stand if you'd like to. If you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. You can stay seated or you can head over to our corner over there and find a space. That's absolutely fine too. Give one, keep one. What's it going to be for you this week? How are you going to leave the building? How are you going to move into this next week? What are you holding on to just in case or for whatever reason? And I want to take these moments now with Julia and the team. I want to take these moments for us to allow space just to reflect. To worship together, absolutely. But to allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and to do whatever it is he wants to do. Okay? Whatever he wants to do. It's also a moment for you to make some decisions, I think, with God. What am I going to do this week? Am I going to move towards Jesus' position on everything? Or am I going to keep one in my back pocket just in case? Let's pray together. And now, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you know all things, that you know what is going on in this moment for each person. You know how your word this morning has landed in people's hearts. And we pray now that you would come and do whatever it is that you want to do. And so just in your heart, I would really encourage you, and again, it's not something you have to do, but I really encourage you just to come and invite God to come and work in you. God, come and do whatever you want to do in me this morning. You're welcome. Come and do whatever you want to do in me. And it's important in these moments, like, we don't want to be prescriptive about what that should be. For some of you, you want to go lie down, that's fine. You want to kneel or jump about where you are, that's totally fine. Like, we don't want to prescribe that. Help us, God, this morning to make decisions towards you. Decisions towards everything. And we pray now that wherever we might be holding back, wherever we might be keeping a coin in the back pocket, for whatever reason, I pray now that, God, that you would come and help us with that you would speak to us. And so as we worship now, let worship be an aid to what God's doing. Don't let it be a distraction. Let it be an aid. And let's just see what God wants to do.